Welcome to the Hillside Assembly online service. This is our second online worship experience, and we are so glad that you're joining us today. Whether you are a regular attender at Hillside Assembly or this is your first time connecting with us on a service, we just want to welcome you here into the family today. We're going to have an awesome day here, and we're going to have some great time connecting with God, encouraging each other in the Word. And we're just excited about today. I am wearing my The Church Has Left the Building t-shirt today because that is the truth of it. We know that God is calling us to go beyond our walls. And in this season, He has literally closed the doors and allowing us to connect with Him and connect with others and to grow in our faith in some really extraordinary ways. And so I'm excited that you're here this morning. We're going to get right into it. I want to start off by talking about some of the great and amazing things that God has been doing the last few weeks. So I got some great testimonies for you. So let's share those and then we'll pray and we'll get into today's word for us. So a little over a week ago, we got together with Adrian and Hannah, and we were able to go out and visit some of our families. We had a team that came and put together some Easter baskets. So we went out to some people in our church that have younger kids. We're able to go and bless those families, pray with those kids, give them a blessing. We now look at things. I felt really compelled by the Lord to move on that quickly. And now looking at where we're at now in the situation with this pandemic and where we're at in Wisconsin, I'm glad that we did that. It's looking more and more like we aren't going to be getting back together as a church family for some time as far as doing services. So we're bracing for the long haul. We're going to keep encouraging and keep bringing the word, and we're going to grow, and God's going to do some amazing things in the midst of that. But I'm really glad we were able to do that for our families. A couple other things that have happened. Some of our medical professionals from the local area have asked us to help. They're in need of some medical supplies. The largest one right now is masks. And so they're asking for some people who know how to sew to help us out with that. We've got a contact person in our community named Courtney. We've already hooked up several of our ladies with them. And whether you're a guy or a gal, if you've got the ability to sew and you'd be willing to put those gifts and talents into use for God's kingdom, we would love to connect you with Courtney. So contact me. I'll put you in touch with her, and we'll start making those masks and getting those out to our healthcare workers. Also, our ministry partner, Webster's, our local grocer here in Ripon, has asked for some volunteers. I was able to go out on Wednesday with Breck Spears, and we went out together and we're volunteering there. He went back later in the day with his daughter. I think others have decided to do that. If you're interested in doing that, contact Webster's. They would love to have your support in being able to do that, or contact me and I can see if I can get the times as well. But what a great opportunity there. Basically, we're cart jockeys. We went out and got the grocery carts, cleaned them up, disinfected them. We prayed over them. We didn't necessarily tell everybody that, but we were praying over them. I know I was praying for every person that was shopping that day, that they'd have a great experience, that God's love would show up in their life in amazing ways, and had great opportunities to speak into people's lives as well. And so great opportunities there. I'm hearing all sorts of great testimonies about people praying for other people, people sharing the gospel with others, and watching God do some incredible things. I'm hearing people have incredible times with the Lord in their prayer time. So, man, just some great things are happening, guys. And it's really easy for our focus to be on just the negative stuff that's happening. But, man, God is moving in some great ways. And we're going to discuss that today on how we can fix our focus on the right things and get on board with what God's doing in the midst of this hardship that we're going through as we sacrifice and as we all go through this, through the situation together. We're going to come out the other side and we're going to see that God moved in some extra incredible ways in our community and around the globe. And so let's open up with some prayer this morning. Lord, we thank you to be your church for such a time as this, that you have prepped us and prepared us. And Lord, you are challenging us now to reach out to you, to connect with you, to pray for you, to be motivated out of faith, out of compassion, out of the heart of servitude. How can we serve? How can we pray? Let's get on our knees and let's seek you, Lord. We know that you have greater things in store for our community in the midst of this hardship, and that, Lord, you're drawing people to yourself. Lord, we ask you to intervene in powerful ways, Lord, for the areas hardest hit by this virus. Lord, we pray for in our own country, for the areas of Washington State, California, New York, that, Lord, are just in such bad shape this morning. Lord, we pray for those first responders, those police officers, those healthcare workers, those nurses, those doctors that, Lord, are on the front lines. And, Lord, we know that there's not enough equipment for all of them. But, Lord, we pray that your provision would come and your supply would be there. Lord, we pray for miracles to take place in our hospitals. And, Lord, we pray that, Lord, as this virus continues, that, God, what you want to accomplish through and in your people and reaching people for the kingdom would happen. We would be a part of that. And Lord, we ask for your mercy on our nation and around the globe, that God, there would come an end to this virus, to this pandemic. And Lord, you would bring about your justice, and that, Lord, you would bring about your grace and mercy. We give you praise, glory, and honor. And God's people said, amen. Hey, before we get into the word for today, here's a video to illustrate kind of where we're going. You know, we can kind of laugh at that video, but I think all of us have moments where the rug has gotten pulled out from under us. And even in this situation, I think that we're feeling a little bit of that, that the things that we once felt were secure in our life have been ripped away in some aspects. And that makes us a little anxious, right? A little bit of worry. And so we want to deal with that today. We need to realize that our foundation is not in our economy. Our foundation isn't in our job. Our foundation is not in a relationship. It's not in our routine, which, let's be honest, a lot of us are struggling with that right now, that our routine has been totally messed up and will be messed up for some time in the future. And our foundation isn't on the fact that we can go to a church building. That can't be it. Our foundation is in Christ. And Christ alone. It's when we're connected with Christ, we can stand on a firm foundation that no matter what is happening externally in our world, no matter what's happening in our life, that Jesus holds us in the palm of his hands. That's where our confidence and our peace can come from. So today's message is called this, Learning to Surf the Waves of Worry. This concept kind of came to me this last week as I was praying and just this whole idea of waves. I mean, waves are absolutely extraordinary. In nature, they're this amazing force that can be so beautiful but so destructive. I mean, waves are continually changing our coastlines and the way that they're shaped and formed and just incredible the power waves can have. Waves can be devastating. You might remember back a few years ago with tsunamis and videos of waves coming in and just crashing over cities. And I mean, just incredible the amount of power waves have. And I looked up a little statistic here, and the tallest wave ever recorded by humans was 1,720 feet tall. To put that into perspective, that is over 4.5 football fields. That's including the end zones, over 4.5 football fields tall. That's incredible. And I mean, that's the power of that wave coming down. I tried to look up an equation to figure out, you know, how powerful is a wave, how much force is behind it. And I didn't understand any of the math. Here's what I know. Water has the ability to crush things pretty quickly with that much force, that much weight behind it. It will obliterate things. And so even as destructive as these waves are, there are these men and women that have this courage inside of them to go out and to find some of the largest, craziest waves they can, and not to tame the wave, but to ride the wave. And I think for us, our anxiety and our worry that we're going through, that God is empowering us. God has called us to not master the waves of life, but be able to ride the waves and be productive for his kingdom. And that's what we want to talk about today. Learning to surf the waves of worry and anxiety in our life. And so that is exactly what we're going to do. Now, I know there's some of you that are probably listening to us saying, Pastor, I don't worry. The Bible tells me not to worry. But here's the reality of that. We're just stripping away all the facades. We're not going to be surface level anymore. We're going to the deep stuff. The reason the Bible tells us not to worry is because we all worry. We all have moments of anxiety. We all have times where we wake up or we're going to sleep And that heart skips a beat for our loved ones, for a situation that we're facing, for our own self, that we might have self-doubt and all these different things. But we all face worry and anxiety. That's why the Bible tells us not to worry, because Jesus understands there is a conflict that goes on inside each and every one of us. And worry and anxiety will come, and we've got to raise up and do things to meet that, to confront that, so that worry and anxiety doesn't take over our life. And so we're going to look into the scripture, talk about what Jesus is calling us to do to battle that area of worry and anxiety in our life and empower us to be victorious in his kingdom, no matter what the situation or circumstances that we're facing. Let's jump into the word today. We're going to have a lot of scripture today, but our key passage is going to be out of 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 10, and this is out of the ESV version. It starts off by saying, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he might exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you." Now, let's just look at the way that that passage is laid out, because it's very important. Humble yourselves, comma, therefore, comma, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, comma, casting all your anxieties on him, comma, because he cares for you. The first period comes at the end of that whole thing I just read. And it starts by saying, humble yourselves. You want to know the key to getting this all in the right order is we jump ahead to casting all your anxieties on him, but there is something that precedes that, and that's humbling ourselves before Christ. We have to, as followers of Christ, humbly come under God's mighty hand. And this is not an hour or a time for spiritual arrogance or spiritual stupidity. It is a time for us to humble ourselves under the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, verbally speaking that, but also doing a deep internal take and humbling our hearts, humbling our minds, humbling our attitudes, and submitting to Christ. That's the key for us to be able to put our anxieties onto the shoulders of our Savior, is that we must learn how to humble ourselves. Let's continue on with verse 8. "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you in his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." That is a good word for today, church. I think that we forget that it is not just ourselves that are suffering at this time. The entire world is dealing with a situation. There's no place exempt. There's no person exempt. It doesn't matter how rich you are. Doesn't matter if you're famous. Doesn't matter if you were a poor person on the street or you were the richest person in the world. This virus has humbled us all. It impacts our lives. And we all have to take dramatic actions to combat this enemy that we're facing. But we're all in this together. And I want to say, the devil wants to tear us apart. The devil wants to get in our heads. He wants to fill us with anxiety and worry and fears that may never come to pass. But we must be men and women of courage and faith, humbling ourselves under Christ so that we can stand up. We can resist the devil's thoughts. We can resist the devil playing in our imagination. And we can be men and women of faith. We can be men and women of courage. We can be men and women of wisdom. That this is not a time to play games. It is a time for us to be the people of Christ, to serve, to sacrifice, to love, to pray, and to be full of compassion. So what I want to do today is I want to lay out five things to identify waves, things that can cause the waves, you know, because surfers have to understand the wave that they're riding, because every wave is different. It's unique. And so there are certain waves in our life we can identify. There's a big wave right now. We're all facing this pandemic together. But in the midst of that, there are some underlying currents that we can look at to say, to understand the waves that we have to deal with so that we can combat that worry and anxiety. So I want to do that. And then I want to end by sharing five things that we can do to conquer our anxiety and fear when they well up in our life. So I'm going to give you five steps at the end of the message to set you up for victory. So let's jump into it today. Let's talk about waves. We're going to use waves as an analogy here. Each letter will be another word, part of that wave that we're dealing with. So let's start with the W. And the first wave or thing that undercurrent in the wave and the crisis that we're facing that we need to realize is words and words. So let's jump into a scripture to help us define the power and importance of words in our life. James chapter 3, verses 3 through 6, and this is out of the NLT. The tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest afire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. Let's just face it, words are powerful. Words are powerful. They can be incredibly positive, amazingly positive, uplifting, encouraging. They can bring unity. They can bring gratefulness. They can express love. They can bring vision and help us to see where we're going, to set our course in life. They can exude passion and excitement. But just like words can be positive and powerfully positive, they can be powerfully negative as well. They can bring distrust and rebellion. They can bring out the cause of damage and ruin relationships. They can burn down bridges in our life. They can start wars, destroy lives, steal hope, stir up hate. They can bring desolation and destruction to just about anything. That's the power of words. And the most powerful words are the ones spoken by God. God has an ability with his words that you and I don't have. He has the ability to create. You look in Genesis and God spoke and created things. And when God speaks into our life, it is a powerful thing that begins to happen. It also can be very challenging. It can also be very frustrating sometimes when God speaks into our life. It can even be painful sometimes. That's the power of creation. Think about when a mother gives birth to a child. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of discomfort. There is a lot of challenge there. But every mother would tell you that there is the reward of this life, it pales in comparison to the struggle of giving birth. And so when God speaks into our life, there's going to be conflict between our sinful nature, between our flesh, and between what God is wanting to do. And it can be challenging to walk through that. And I believe that God is speaking some powerful things to his church right now that are challenging. They're hard to go through, but what can come out of that is so beneficial if we cling to his words of hope, to his promises that he has. What's God doing right now? God's doing amazing things. They're saying that today, in this 24-hour cycle, it is very possible that more people will hear the word than in any other 24-hour cycle since. Because of this pandemic, it's forced our churches to go online. Like us, we're using YouTube. There's several different other internet avenues people are using. And people are listening that have never heard the gospel before. More people are hearing the word preached today than possibly ever before in human history. We're a part of that in this very moment. God is doing some things that are challenging, but man, are reaping some incredible benefits. Let's look at words for just a minute in a little deeper way. I think that there are some things that we look at. The words that we say can create waves in our life and in the lives of others. We need to be careful about the words we're saying. Are they beneficial? Are they fruitful? Or do we speak words out of frustration, out of anger? And look, we all have bad hair days. We all need God's grace. But the words we speak can make situations far worse than they need to be in our life. So we need to try to tame the tongue, and that's impossible for us to do on our own, but it is possible with the help of Christ. We've got to humble ourselves, ask God to help us to tame our tongues, to tame our speech, so that what comes out of us does not create more waves, but it brings the peace of God. It brings the understanding. It brings the compassion. It brings the strength of Christ into our life and into the lives of others. And not just the words we say, but let's really be honest, the words we think. The words we think. Those sometimes are far worse than the words that we ever say. What we think about others, what we think about individuals, out of our frustration, out of our own fear, out of our own fact of we feeling that we're not worthy enough or that we don't have control of something in our life, we will take it out on others and we will think thoughts, we will think words about other people that are not helpful, not beneficial, and have nothing to do with the kingdom. So Lord, help us with our words. And then we look at the other direction. The words that others say, and other people, they can speak into our life and we can feel encouraged and we can feel great, or we can feel absolutely miserable. And we all face that. Let's just be honest. We all face that. Oh, I don't care what people say. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. At some level, we all care about that. But what we have to learn to do as followers of Christ is figure out where we put the weight in the words that are spoken in our life and in the lives of others. We talk about glory, God's glory, God's glory. That word glory translates to weight. And so where are we going to put the glory in our life? Are we going to put it on the weight of what others say? Are we going to put it on the weight of what we say? Are we going to put it on the weight of what God says? And understanding what God says totally, just not in bits and pieces, and we'll get into that in a minute. But when someone speaks a word to you and it wrecks you and it destroys you, we've got to be able to get into the presence of God, put that through a filter, find out where the truth is in it, and then go, but what does God say about me? What does God say about this situation? We've got to be able to filter that. And that's a challenge for me. That's a big challenge for me sometimes. But we can do it with Christ and we can do it together. Let's move to the A in waves. And this is about appearance. Appearance is an interesting thing. We all want to look a certain way, right? Well, I don't care what I look like. You know, we say that sometimes. But I wonder about our spiritual appearance. Where are we really at? Let me take you to a passage of scripture in 2 Timothy 3:5. And this is Paul speaking to Timothy, and in this particular passage, speaking about how things will be towards the end of the age, before Jesus is coming back. He lists a bunch of things, but I want to focus in on verse 5 specifically. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. What's he talking about here? Paul is expressing to Timothy that there are these individuals, and as we get closer to Christ's return, that will claim Christ, that will talk Christ, that can speak scripture, that can play the church game, but who do not have the power of Christ within them. Well, pastor, that's somebody else. You know what? We always have that mindset. Pastor speaking to somebody else. The word speaking about somebody else. Let's just be honest. How does this speak to you this morning? Where are you at with Christ? When this whole thing hit, what was your reaction? How did you respond? What were your thoughts? Where were we at with Christ? The power of God is found within his word, and it's not the fact that we can speak it, it's the fact that we can live it, that we apply God's word totally, completely in our life. We don't pick it apart, we don't take what we want and leave what we don't, we have to take the whole kit and caboodle and apply it like it's been given to us. What do we do with God's word? Are we like the Pharisees, who were these people who looked the part, who played the church, who could talk? They knew the word. They knew it. They could speak it. They had it memorized. but they were empty inside. They were whitewashed tombs. I don't want that to be you. I don't want that to be me. I want to be the real deal. I want to have Christ's power to live as he calls me to live, no matter my circumstances. I want that in my life. God's word has to be understood, and it can't be taken out of context. We are really good at that. We'll take a passage of scripture, we'll twist it to make it make us feel the way we want to feel, to make it validate my thoughts on a situation or my perspective. But that's not what God's word does. God's word is not there to validate your opinion, your feeling, your preferences, your political party. God's word is there not to have you validated, but to take our life and transform it to where Christ is asking us to be, how he's asking us to think, how he's challenged us to change and transform. That's the power of God's word. We got to take it for what it is and apply it to our life, and it will start to transform you in deep, powerful ways. Let's get into God's word together. God's word changes our thoughts, changes our beliefs. It doesn't validate our personal opinions or perspectives. Let's talk about V for a minute in waves. This is the vacant or the void. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, out of the ESV, it says this: "Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use it will be the measure be measured back to you." We are designed internally, spiritually, to have a void inside of us. We're built that way. We've got a void. The question is what are we going to fill it with? God designed us to have that void so he could be the center. He could be the filling. It's like a jelly-filled donut. Jesus wants to be the jelly in your donut, okay? But what happens is we often leave that void in our life unattended. Let me show you. I've got this box, right? And right now you'd say, well, what's in this box? And some of you said, nothing. But the truth is there is something in there. In that void is filled with molecules and air particles and all sorts of things that we can't see, but it fills that. There is air in here. But if I grab something else, like these wipes, I'm sure some of you would like me to mail these to you right now, but we put this in the box, it now has been replaced, the air molecules have been replaced by this package, right? What's filling your void? And I'm going to tell you, if you don't purposely fill your void with things, the devil will fill it for you. Absolutely 100%. Go back to our passage of scripture that we started with this morning. We've got an enemy who's prowling around looking for somebody to devour. The devil is looking for voids and spaces to put his junk and garbage in. And sure, we can go to the old standbys and say, well, that's drugs and alcohol. And you'd be right. Those are definitely things that can fill the void. But there's a whole lot of other things that can fill our void, that fill our box. Like bad attitudes, like critical attitudes, like fear, like anger, like you know, all these different things. Everybody has stuff in their box they need to get out, and need to replace it with some stuff that God is calling you to fill. Every single one of us, every one of us, has stuff in our box that needs to be replaced. If you're a grumpy old curmudgeon, it's time to get some love and compassion and excitement and passion in your box this morning. Come on. We serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's coming back one day for us. I want to live Christ out. So Lord, help me fill my box with good stuff. What are you filling your box with today? I know I go to the standby right now, but I think it's true. If you're just watching 24-hour news cycle on this whole coronavirus, you got to be going nuts. you're going to go insane. Look, I was watching too much of it, and I wasn't even close to doing 24 hours. It was playing with my mind. It started to weigh on me in heavy ways. You know what I do? I got about 30 minutes in a day that I'm going to put news stuff in. I wake up in the morning. I kind of catch what's going on. So, these are the rules that we've got today. This is what's going on. This is how I can pray. And at night, I catch the beginning of the local news. I want to find out specifically for us what's going on. And that's kind of it. And then I talk with missionaries and things to get the rest of my information about how this is affecting them. But listen, if I got that on rolling in the background, I am filling my box with stuff I don't need. I need something more than that. I need some worship music. I need some life. I need some time with my family. I need to read a book. I need to disconnect for a little bit. Come on. What are you filling your box with? Because the void's going to be filled. We're rather going to choose to take care of what's in our box. And if we leave it to neglect, I guarantee you the devil will fill it with a bunch of crud that you don't need in your life. And that's impacting you from being the person Christ is calling you to be. Let's talk about E in waves. This is our experiences and our expectations. In Numbers chapter 13, verses 27 through 30, we're going to the time of Moses and Joshua. They're sending spies into the promised land to view and see the promises God has for them. And here's where I want to pick up in verse 27. And they told him, "We came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey. The promises are true. Look at that. And this is its fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negeb. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the hill country, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea among the Jordan." But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." Our experiences and our expectations. Right now we're facing this crazy thing in our life. And yes, the truth is, there are people dying. There are people who are very sick, that some of our cities are overrun at this point in time. I don't know what the next few weeks will look like. That's very possible. That type of situation could come to our area. But I want to say this. When you look at this passage of scripture, it's very clear that you got to choose whose heart you're going to have. Because a majority of the spies couldn't see the blessings of God because of the battle they had to face. And don't get me wrong. There is a battle that you and I have to face right now. Our country is fighting this virus. There is a battle ahead of us. And it is going to take time, and it is going to take energy, and there is going to be a cost in that battle. But we can't get so fixed on the battle, we miss the blessing. If we can get our perspective on the blessing and say the blessing is what we're shooting for, the good things that God is doing in the midst of this craziness, it gives us the ability and the energy to fight the battle ahead of us. That's what Caleb was saying. He's like, look, there is a cost. There is going to be energy exerted here. There are going to be battles we have to face to take the promise God has for us in this hour. But it's worth it for the blessing, for the promise God has for us. God has a promise for us that this two shall pass. But church, we got to get in the game. We got to pray. We got to be willing to serve. If you can start sowing some of those masks, put your gifts and talents to work. Check on your neighbors. Call other people that you know. Call your friends and family. Pastor them, shepherd them, guide them, and speak words of love, compassion, hope, mercy. This is not the time to cast words of doubt, dispersion, of confusion. It's time for us to be the church, to be the hands and feet of Christ. Let's go to the battle because the blessing is worth it, church. What God is doing, the people's lives that will be saved, the opportunity has come to us. What we've been praying for years is the church, for a spiritual awakening. We are on the verge of that, of people getting saved by hundreds and thousands. And this is an opportunity for us to be the church. The church isn't the walls. The church is you. You are called and equipped for such a time as this. Sorry, a little bit passionate this morning. Are we missing the opportunity because we're complaining the fact that we're out of our comfort zone? Are we missing the opportunity because we're saying, well, we can't go to church, so let's just give up? No, come on, don't miss the opportunity. You're better than that. You are a child of God. I'm a child of God. This is the opportunity. Let's connect with Christ. Let's get closer with Christ. Let's build our family relationships. Let's check on those neighbors. Let's serve where we're asked to volunteer. Come on. This is the hour, church. We got this. Because you are a child of God. I'm a child of God. The last letter we want to talk about in waves is suffering. 1 Peter 5:10, going back to that original scripture. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Suffering is something that none of us like to do. You have to understand, when the New Testament was written, a majority of the church was slaves, subject to their masters. A lot of these Christians were mistreated, abused. Yet the words we find throughout the letters to the churches tells us to serve these people, to submit to the authority. God's put these people over our lives because we have the opportunity to bring them to Christ by our character and integrity. In the midst of suffering, Paul, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit's pouring into his life saying, serve the people that you struggle with. Serve them. You have to understand, a majority of the church, several years after the church is established, are on the run, are persecuted, are moving, and hunted even in some cases. Under Nero's watch in Rome, Nero burned the city, blamed it on the Christians. If you were in our online Bible study on Wednesday night, it was discussed that in some cases, Christians were covered in wax and used as lamps to light the way in Nero's garden. Yet we are called to be Christ to these people. God's word to the church was not engage in warfare. It wasn't to pick up your garden tools and go to battle with the Roman Empire. It was submit, love, show compassion. They're on the run and forced out of their communities and forced to go in other places. They're foreigners in foreign lands. But it's because in that period of time, the church was still the church. They went through this suffering that the gospel spread. We are here today because people endured suffering and Christ used it to do things in his church to bring hope, love, and mercy, because our hope isn't here on this plane. It's in our earthly home. And it's our turn on the wheel. It's our turn on the wheel. We're suffering. Some of our biggest cities are suffering, and in the days to come are going to suffer. Suffering's mentioned over 100 times in Scripture. And I believe one of the things that we are really struggling with, especially in the American church, is separating biblical theology from our American mindset. And we have confused the two. We've put them together and said that this is what Christianity is. This is what the Bible is. And it's really not. It can't be. The Bible and biblical theology must transcend the American mindset. God's favor and blessing is not tied to our comfort, not in the least bit. And I believe one of the things that God is trying to do in our church here in America is to try to wake us up and go, the gospel is bigger than your pew. The gospel is bigger than your building. It's bigger than your comfort. It's bigger than your entertainment on a Sunday morning. It is about connecting to Christ, taking that hope and freedom to others. And that is what we're called to do. We are called and is a blessing to suffer. And I know that's crazy, but it's something that God has been speaking to me for over a year as I've been dealing with my own medical conditions. And even in the midst of this crisis, and I'm not complaining here, but I've had some super strong vesiculations in my left hand at times, not being able to hold things and do things that I want to do. It's been very difficult. But when that happens, I remember I'm called by Christ. I'm called to keep going. My energy isn't my own. It comes from the Holy Spirit. I'm grounded not in my own mind, but I'm grounded in the Word. And that same thing applies to you. We can suffer. We can suffer for a moment for the kingdom. What if God closed the doors for our churches so that we would pray for the lost to get saved? Are you doing that? Am I doing that? Are we doing that? Are we missing the greatest opportunity that we've ever had for the greatest outpouring of God's power, love, and mercy to be on display? Are we missing it because we're not willing to suffer? We're not willing to be inconvenienced? Are we missing out? God's still moving today. Are you? Are you praying? Are we going to pray? Are we going to seek God? Are we going to serve? Are we going to take opportunities and identify the opportunities before us? Or are we going to let them slip by? And is this just going to be another time period that we just did our own thing? Church, the world is waking up. The church is on the move across the world, and I want us to be a part of that. God wants us to be a part of that. Going back to verse 6 of our original scripture in Peter, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all our anxieties on him because he cares for you. Before I give you those five things to battle this, I want to pray. Lord, help us to be the church you're calling us to be. Help us to see the word for what it truly is, to stand in your power and your authority in this moment in time. Lord, you've called us. Let us get on our knees and pray. Let us pray. Let us pray. And then let our prayer bring us to action. Give us names to call. Give us places to serve. Give us identities that we're supposed to connect with. Lord, put our neighbors on our heart. Let us wrestle with it. Let us not go to bed at night. If you've called us to do something, we must do it. Lord, Holy Spirit, help us, prod us, prick us in this moment where we are underneath these different things, the waves of words that we battle in our mind and that we say and that others say. Lord, we must put our priorities straight. Lord, help us with our spiritual appearance. It's not about how we appear, but where is our heart really at? Is it with you? May we surrender to your grace, your mercy. May we humble ourselves underneath you. Lord, help us to fill the voids in our life with the things that are positive, the things that actually mean things, that have value. Lord, help us to clean out that closet and remove the things and replace them with the things you're calling us in our heart and in our mind so that we may be productive in your kingdom. Lord, help us with our expectations and what we see in our world, to not just see, Lord, the battles we have to fight, but Lord, to see the blessing, to see the promises that you have that will be fulfilled if we're willing to stand up to the plate and be the church. And Lord, help us as we suffer, as we get out of our chairs, we're forced out of the pews. Lord, help us to find that place on our knees. Help us to be the church outside the building. That's what we're called to be. This is the greatest hour for the church. And Lord, let us respond to that with power, authority, and enthusiasm. We give you praise, glory, and honor this morning. Church, before we close, I know this is a long worship experience, but hey, you don't get to spend any other time with me but this. So we're going to make the most out of it. I want to share with you, I've shared with you the waves, but let me share with you how to be brave. A week and a half ago when I was with Hannah, we were delivering those Easter baskets. Hannah shared a story with me that happened a few weeks ago. She was at the college at the swimming pool, and they have a high dive. And she had decided to do that, but she was full of fear. And she was talking about that was an example in her life, that when she faces things in her life that there's this moment of fear, this moment of anxiety, but she has to push through. Once you take that first step, she's like, I can know I can do it. I know internally I can do it, but it's that taking the first step. And she said little Elena was counting down. She counted down. And when she counted down, she jumped off that high dive. And that's literally taking the first step. And she made it. She survived. It was fun. It was exhilarating. And I think we're in that same place right now for so many of us. We're right on the edge of the high dive. And it's scary. We don't know what tomorrow brings. Our structure of our structure of our routine is gone. Every morning we wake up and there's new rules that we've got to kind of apply. How do we live our life today? It's like we all woke up on the greatest missions trip of our life. Let's go after it. Let's be brave. Let's take a step today and see where God would take us. Here are the letters I want to give you for brave. So each letter in brave is another word. And you've heard me say this before. I use it in counseling. And I'm going to be honest with you. I apply this to my life right now, every day. I speak this to myself. Here's the letters broken down. The first one is B, and it's breathe. Sometimes we just got to remember to take a moment and breathe. When you look at Genesis and God created man, he breathed breath, right? The breath of life. And sometimes we just got to breathe. And it's like we're just breathing God. All right, God, let me take a moment. Let me just steady myself and let's just breathe. Because we work ourselves up. We get so tense. We get so... And we forget to just breathe. My watch, my Apple Watch, it tells me every once in a while. It's like, remember to breathe. So that's a good thing. We all need to breathe. The R is remember. Hey, remember, has God done something for you before? One of the great things in the Bible is when God did things in people's lives, they commemorated that by building an altar. And generations would be able to look back and go, that altar was built for us to remember that God brought us through this period of time. God's done other things in your life. Every one of us has lived at least one day up to this point. And a lot of us, a lot more than one day. Think back to the things that God has done, the times where he's encouraged you, he's spoken to you, he's come through for you. He's not going to quit. Remember what he's already done. He's going to bring you through this too. His promises are going to be fulfilled in your life. His greatest promise, for those of you who are fearful that, you know, this may end, you know, not well for you physically, we've got the promise of the greatest promise of all, that he calls us home. And our hope isn't here in this world. Our hope is in our the kingdom that he has set up for us, our mansion he has for us in heaven. So remember, God's got you. God's got you. He's done it before. He's doing it again. And he's always with you. He's always with you. He's already with you in this moment. He's already with you at work when we face our challenges. It's not like we have to say, God, come and be with me. He's always with us. So remember, God's with you. He's done it before. He'll do it again. The A is for ask. A-S-K. Ask. Sometimes we just need to stop and just ask God. And look, I know sometimes I get into these long-winded, crazy prayers, but the most powerful prayers I've ever prayed, Lord, help me with fill in the blank. Help me with fear today. Help me to be where I need to be today. Help me figure out who it is I need to contact today. Help me just not to kill my kids as I'm homeschooling them. Help me to, you know, whatever that prayer is, help me to just make dinner tonight. Help me to wash the dishes. Help me to serve my wife. Help me to serve my husband. Help me to serve my kids. God just loves the open heart when we just abandon ourselves and say, God, I need your help. I just need your help. Those are the best prayers. So ask God for his help. The V is for visualize. I love being a vision person, seeing the future, seeing what's out there. You got to visualize. This is going to come to an end. It's like a train going through a tunnel, right? That light starts at the end. It's really small. It's, you know, it's just that little bit of light. But as you get closer, it gets bigger and bigger. Guys, we're in the tunnel. We don't know where it ends, but I'm telling you, there is light at the end. You got to visualize an end to this. There will come a day we're going to get back together in church. There will come a day where we're able to meet together in larger groups. There will come a day when this virus will be in our past and not in our present. You got to visualize an end to it. It's not going to be around forever. This too shall pass. And finally, the last one is elevate. Now, this isn't just going and getting a ladder and getting taller, right? But it helps when we can see a perspective from God's point of view. And the way that we elevate is through our worship. Go back to last week's message, right, with the real heart of worship. And there are tools and expressions of worship that can help us elevate our mindset. Worship music, hymns, a musical instrument, beatboxing. I don't know, you know, whatever we do to just be in God's presence. And sometimes I just throw on some music, look, a song that's on my mind. I'm like, this will help me get where I need to be. There's a great song. I was listening to it yesterday. It's by Elevation Worship, Sea of Victory. Oh, you got to look it up on YouTube. Sea of Victory from Elevation Worship. It will bless your socks off. It's what you need in this hour. Man, that just helped me to elevate, literally, from Elevation Worship, to elevate my mindset. Go, God's got this. God's got this. One of the verses in that song say, what the enemy meant for evil, God's going to turn around and use it for good. And man, come on. What the devil meant to do for evil in this period of time in our life with this crazy epidemic, God is going to turn it around and do something great in your family. He's going to do something great in you. He's going to do something great in the world. He's drawing people to himself. And the greatest awakening we could ever experience, I believe we're right on the forefront of a church. So get God's mindset for where he's taking you. Hey, thanks for spending today with me. I hope you enjoyed today's worship experience. I'm looking forward to next week. I've got a couple different areas where we might go. I'm just going to lean on God for that understanding. We're going to try to get this out to some of our people who don't have internet as well with an audio recording. So be praying for that, that we're able to bless those and be able to get the word into their hearts and minds as well. Because we're doing life together, even though we may not be physically in the same place. We're doing life together. Let's go out, serve our community, be a part of what God wants you to do. Hey, until next week's church, let's serve God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. Let's connect. Let's grow. Let's go.